Well, it's the Local Spotlight Show, and welcome to WJBM Studios here in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Chris Lorton. I'm your host, and my guest today, back by popular demand, Carl Mager.
Hey,
welcome,
everyone.
Carl.
Hey, how we doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. You know, last time I had you on, you were talking about that duck decoy thing you made. And we wanted to get to songwriting.
Right.
But we didn't have enough time.
Didn't have enough time.
So I wanted to bring you back. And, you know, you've done a couple things in your life. You know,
as my mama used to say, I've worn a lot of hats.
You know, you got your patent done and on your decoy
right on
equipment
the, yep.
that you had mm-hmm. and been continue to sell them. I mean, it's a viable business.
We sell them. As a matter of fact, our busy time with that will start. I mean, right now we're going into May, usually about July. Things start picking up. We go gangbusters till about December.
Yeah, and you sell them all over the world.
All over the place. Well, not over the world. We kind of still sell them just in the United States because of the universal patent laws and stuff.
Oh, okay. But you have sold them in Europe.
But yeah. But we have most everything's internet sales except for just local stuff. We don't. I never pursued retail. I mean, I did for a while, but kind of found out that's a whole different game too. So we have better luck to sell them word of mouth, and we go to shows and a lot of internet sales.
Yes.
A lot of web stuff.
And a lot of ducks getting killed.
Well.
And a lot of ducks being ate.
We try to talk them into giving up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you also, you know, a lot of people like, you know, want to write songs or produce music. I mean, you've got a CD that you did several years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's still good. I mean, your band's still together.
That thing is still getting play, and I thank God for that.
Yeah. And you got the band back in the saddle, you and your brother Jim.
Right.
And how Jeremiah, many years have you been playing at the Harvest Fest?
Well, we were honored. They were good enough to honor us back actually last year. And we had done, aside from COVID, we had done basically 26 years, but it came out 25 on account of COVID. But yeah, they honored us and gave us a nice plaque for playing for that for 25 years. Yeah.
And you'll be back this year?
We'll be back again this year. I guess they're glutton for punishment. I don't know. But
now, when you guys perform, and I've heard you perform there, but I'm a lot more familiar now with the CD because mm-hmm. we've been playing it on the air.
You have, and I appreciate that. Thank you guys for that.
Do you do all the songs off the CD?
I had a hand in every song.
No, I mean, do you play them at the Harvest Fest, every song?
We will play them. If somebody requests an original, we'll do it.
But you do mostly covers?
We do mostly covers.
Even, like, where do you play at now? I mean, I know you played at the Harvest Fest. But
okay, well.
Your band.
We, you know, we've been around. Back of the Saddle has actually been together for 30 years now.
Wow.
And so we've kind of run the gamut, and we're all getting older now and everything, and, you know, life takes over or whatever. But so we kind of realize now that, you know, we've kind of hit our peak, and we're going into the retirement type of thing now. But we still perform quite a bit. But we play a lot of the festival. Now, like this year, we're going to be doing the Brussels Fireworks Celebration. That's July the 3rd.
Okay, July 3rd.
And then we also will be doing the St. Barbara's Picnic over in Batchtown, and that's July 26th.
Now, do you play in the evening or in the afternoon?
We play in the evenings.
Okay.
Yeah. Like usually, seven. They usually run them kind of early, 6 to 10 type of thing. And we're also at the Meppin Picnic. I think that's St. Joseph's down there. So, we're big in Calhoun.
You're playing the picnics.
Playing the picnics, yes. And but we've been lucky enough. We got to perform in Nashville. We've been in Branson. I mean, it's been, you know, years past. But we got to play at the Edward Jones Dome one time for a big farm convention.
Oh, that's cool.
And we've been so lucky for a bunch of just local guys, you know. But like I've told Chris, we've talked in the past on the Spotlight that there's so much talent in this area. It's really an untapped source. So
yeah,
I've just been lucky that we had some little breaks and different things for what it's worth. I tell people that, you know, I'm working on my second million because they gave up on the first one. So
and on the CD and the songs that you guys put together and produced, you had a hand in writing all those, right?
I did. I had a big part of writing all of them. Yeah, I think there's 10 songs on that album.
When did you start writing music?
I actually started tinkering around with writing stuff when I was, you know, or probably a teenager, early teens.
Did you read a book or something? How did you get into writing music? Just listen.
Well, you know, when you're playing and you're a musician and stuff, you just one hand kind of washes the other, and so you try to master your craft as well as you can, and so you learn to play the instrument, whatever, and then all of a sudden your mind gets driven. Well, maybe I'll try to write a song. And so, you know, like you and I were talking earlier in the studio here, you know, you asked me, well, Carl, what's the inspiration of the song? I said, anybody can write a song. If you have an idea.
Hey, I got a question. Okay. Before you get on that, we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
But the question is, how do you write a song, right? You hear all these songs. How do you make yours original, both with the lyrics and the melody? Because I could see people wanting to write a song, but it sounds a lot like somebody else's song.
Well, in today's market, that is a big thing. It is hard to sound different because it's all been done.
Yeah.
It's all been done. You know, music is constantly changing. It's constantly changing. And then it will go for full circle and sometime come back to what it was, you know, a few years ago. But it's always moving. It's always developing. So you're right. It's hard to come up with an idea.
Even with the pros.
Even with the pros.
You know, it seems like there'll be a trend on a song. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. a song about my four-wheel drive truck.
Right.
You know, and
right.
then all of a sudden.
Absolutely.
That's all you're hearing. It's for my four-wheel drive,
right.
you know.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And of course.
I've got a friend of mine, and he's a songwriter in Nashville, and been very successful. And
what's his name?
His name is Tommy Carless.
Yeah.
And Tommy went to Nashville when he was just a kid, and he's done very well. But Tommy will tell you the same thing, that, you know, the songwriting is the bread and butter, and the performing is kind of secondary. The songwriters in Nashville are really the ones that are the foundation, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But and he'll tell you, you know, I'm a songwriter, made a living at it, you know, but it's not as glamorous as a lot of people.
How do you
think.
Make a living as a songwriter?
Well, they write their songs and they
sell them.
They sell them to, you know, publishers take them and then artists will come in or you know, people managing the artist, and they'll pick out a song or a demo that they like and decide to record it. And so they'll record the song.
So people who may not be a musician. Or what? You got to be a musician to be a songwriter?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. But how about the melody? Can you create a melody without being a musician?
Most people have music in them. You know, you sit around, you listen to the radio, you're going, no. You'll come up with a melody. People are musical, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the birds sing. Things are just musical, so you can come up with a melody.
So these songwriters, back mm-hmm. to these songwriters, they go there, they're producing songs and melodies, and they're just like putting them out mm-hmm. in a newspaper or something. I mean, how do they find them?
Publishing houses, you know, there's libraries and different publishing companies and different things, and a lot of these writers will work for the publishing company, so they'll write the song and then they'll take that and, like I said, they'll cut a demo, and then people will literally basically just come in and say, well, I like that song. I'd like to record that one. Well, they can either purchase that song or they work it out legally, and they can record the song.
What's a song get purchased for?
Oh, I don't know, Chris. I've never had one purchased of my own. We were born ourselves.
I just wondered.
I would have to look that up because I really don't know what the market is on.
I mean, if the guy's making a living writing songs, he must –
Well, it probably goes beyond the purchase. You know, there probably a certain amount of money changes hands, and then, of course, then there's royalties and different things that carry on for years, you know. So when you get into that vein, like even playing music, you know, there's ASCAP charges and different things. If you're using other people's music, and like you in the radio business, Chris, you know, like we came in the other day and recorded some songs. And
some covers.
And I asked you about the covers, and you said, as long as we disclose that they're not our song, you know. So it's business. It's really business. So.
Yeah. So in songwritings, some of the songs, you said, how many songs have you written?
Oh, I've written a hundreds of songs. It's just one of those things that, you know, you write a little song, maybe have it in your head, never think about it again, or you may write some down.
Do you have a notebook of these songs?
I used to have, yeah. I probably got one somewhere. When we decided to do the CD back in, I think we cut that CD in 97, around there. But we sat down and we just literally decided to write 10 songs. And that's what we just wrote those 10 songs for that CD. So I see. That's kind of how we did it.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Carl Mager back in the studio talking about some songwriting.
People are going to start talking about us, Chris.
they have been for a while, Carl. Our wives have. That's
amen.
Well, anyway, for example, you know, like, we were talking and a top song off that CD is Amy. How did that song come about?
Well, believe it or not, you know, I was single for a long time. And of course, you know, when you play in bands and everybody knows how that goes. Well, you know, had a lot of lady friends and different things. And so I met this little gal and, I don't know, we were dating a little bit and she kind of challenged me. She said, "I bet you can't write a song about me." And I said, "Well, I bet I can." And so anyway,
I've never used that line.
Yeah, I bet I can. But anyway,
with girls, I'll write a song about you. If you'll date me.
Yeah. So anyway, after she challenged me to do that, I went down, picked up a guitar, and I just sat down and kind of just ad-lib wrote this song. And I played it to a friend of mine when I got done with it, and he goes, I really like that. So I just kind of put it aside, you know, and when we got ready to do the CD, of course, we were fishing and writing and doing things for our own, you know, our own CD, and I brought that song back, so we recorded it right here at the radio station back in the day, and you and I have talked about that in the past.
Yeah.
But anyway, that song came back and we produced it and put it on the CD. And that was one of the top songs off the CD. And it was called "Amy, Please Come Save Me."
Did she?
It didn't last. Well, it didn't last. It just didn't quite go the distance.
Now, is she making some royalties off that song?
You know, actually,
she didn't sign anything.
No, we pretty much we did. We've gotten airplay through you guys, which we appreciate, and it did get out for a while back in the day. Some of the local Walmarts carried it for a while, and so we made our money off of it. But yeah, it was nothing like what the national charts do.
Okay, so for example, with a song, what are the basics for you for making a song? What do you come up with first?
Well, for me, it's always been kind of easy. I mean, there's been times when I've woken up out of a sleep and have a melody in my head.
A melody.
Just you'll get the na 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 in your head, you know. Mm-hmm. And as long as I can kind of come up with the melody or a chord progression or something like that, then I can sit down and put words to it. And then I've had it go the other way. When somebody would say something to me off the cuff, just a phrase.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, that, and everybody's done it. That could be a song.
When we listen to country music or even, you know, rock music, whatever, there's the phrase.
The hook.
They got the hook. Yeah. And after we've listened to millions of songs, we're like, they got to be out of hooks. They can't come up with one more thing to sing about. They've sung about everything.
You wouldn't think, but they just keep coming. That's what sells a song. The hook is what sells the song.
The hook.
Yep.
Okay. So. Well, you got this one song you did. The hook is "Being Lonely Ain't Cool." Is this like after Amy broke up with you?
Well. It might have been her or someone else. I don't want to come off like I'm some kind of Don Juan, because I'm certainly not. I'm certainly not. Never was. But, I was, you know, dating another girl, or maybe her. I don't remember. It's been so long ago. But, you know, you go through life and things happen and your feelings get hurt. You know, you're a young guy, a young girl, get brokenhearted. So, anyway, you know, this was going on with me at that point in my life, and of all things, and we've talked on previous programs about my hunting and stuff, and I was literally sitting in the woods turkey hunting,
By yourself.
By myself, leaning up against a tree, you know.
And you're thinking about her.
And I'm thinking about what was going on. And all of a sudden, it just kind of hit. I was like, man, being lonely ain't cool. And I tell you what, Chris, I sat there in my head, and I wrote that song in my head, and I walked back to my truck, I had a piece of paper in there, and I wrote that song down. Just did lyrics. I was just like sitting writing lyrics. And I threw it in the console of the truck and didn't think much about it. Well, I was all along about the same time we're doing this CD. So that's how that song was born.
Okay, so when you're doing a song, just because I'm kind of thinking I want to write a song. Mm-hmm. Okay, I might need your help on it. You have the hook first.
It goes both ways. You may have the melody. You may have the melody in your head.
Okay, either the hook or the melody.
And the hook could also be the melody. So it, you know.
So you have a hook, and then whether you start off with a hook or it goes, and then you come into the hook, mm-hmm. and then what do you call that? Where you have the repeated.
The
chorus. Mm-hmm. So what are you playing? Three choruses?
Sky's the limit. There, you know,
well, you can't have too many.
It depends on what you're doing. If you're a jazz guy,
you got to keep it within. I mean, I'm just thinking about country music.
Oh,
you
country
need,
music.
You
okay.
need to keep it within.
Yeah.
3.5
right.
minutes.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Most country songs, you know, have 5 or 6 chords in them at the most. At least that's my experience.
5 or 6 choruses?
Chords. For playing the
I'm
melodies.
I'm talking yeah. choruses.
How the choruses, you'll have two. Usually you'll have, a lot of songs will have 2 choruses and what they call the bridge, which basically bridges back in from chorus to chorus. So it's kind of like a building block that you work on.
But they only have 2 choruses?
Some of them will have 3.
Okay.
Some of them will just sing the chorus numerous times. They'll come up with a little verse or, you know, but the chorus might be the hook, so they just keep repeating that. In different, you know, there's so many ways you can build a song, Chris. It's just, you know, it's everybody's writing taste. You could probably have some of the guys come in from the local guys that have written, and they'll tell you that, you know, similar things that I'm telling you. It's just kind of what you're feeling and what works for you, you know. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, there's, it's just like, it goes verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, you know, there's just certain ways you can set them up to basically write a song.
And the bridge.
The bridge is basically what it is. It bridges one point of the song into the other.
Is the bridge the same every time?
No, the bridge will pretty much be a different progression from what the verses and the choruses are, and then that will bridge you back into what you were doing at the beginning of the song or so on and so forth.
Yes.
So.
Well, okay, there's one other song that's on your CD,
mm-hmm.
and this song actually got played over in Europe.
In Europe, yeah. We signed with an independent label and out of California, and we were with them for a short period of time. And so they distributed the song, and this song was called Cowboy Boogie. Now, that was a song that I actually had written. And that one, going back to Chris, that song was written simply off of a guitar lick that I came up with. Yeah, just a progression on the guitar that I did.
And what's a lick?
It's different notes that you play, like a run or a lick or a scale or anything
okay.
like that. We country guys, we call them guitar licks.
Okay.
So anyway, if you listen to the beginning of that song, which Chris will probably, they'll play it here on the spotlight sometime or on local vocals. But the kickoff of that song is me playing that riff. And that's how that song was born.
The riff or the lick?
The lick, riff. There's all kind of slang.
Okay, all right. Slang.
But anyway, that was the key to that song, and I came up with that one day, sitting around playing, and I wrote that song around that little riff or lick or whatever you want to call it. And that song in my mind came back from like the old urban cowboy days. It talks about Lone Star Beer, and it talks about being in a dance hall and some different things, but that guitar riff is what drives that song. So once I had that riff and liked it, then I built the words around that. So I said, songwriting, you can go a lot of different directions. It's more about your feel and just it's you. It's a projection of what you want to do, you know, what you want to hear. And hopefully people will like hearing it too.
Well, Carl, you've been very educational to
me,
because I don't really know much. But
well, I don't either. I like I said, I know enough to be, what do they say, I know enough to be ignorant.
I thought it was dangerous.
That too. I'm not too dangerous anymore, Chris.
No, we get a lot less dangerous. Pretty harmless.
Yeah, I've got this big old teddy bear now. Yeah.
Well, Carl, thanks so much for coming in. It's been fun again. And keep at it, man.
Well, Chris,
time to do another song.
I want to thank you guys. You guys have supported me so much over the years and with the radio station and you with George's and everything. I really appreciate all the help that you've always
Maybe you given and I me. Will write a song together.
We might ought to sit down and do that.
We could do that.
We could do that.
I don't know how much help I would be.
Well, you know what?
I might come up with something.
You come up with something and we'll get our heads together, and if nothing else, we'll like it. You know,
that's right.
Fella told me one time, he said, somebody asked him if he was a good guitar player. And he said, well, I don't know. He said, when I look in the mirror, I'm smiling. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Carl. You have a great day.
You too, Chris. Thank you.